that sometimes fucking YouTube is infuriating.
How so?
It's just... So, like... Have you ever tried to stream on YouTube?
No, I have not.
Overall, pretty great experience. Not bad. However, when you go to start a stream, you can't get to the stream section without going to the create button and clicking start stream. So like okay. There is a create button, you hit create button and it'll say upload videos, go live, create post, new playlist, new podcast.
Okay.
So if you hit the go live button, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say you've been managing your streams, right? If you hit the go live button, it'll take you to the streaming section, which is like this own like little kind of app within the app. And it'll and in that app, it has like three things where it'll be like manage your stream and then manage your it'll have manage your streams, current stream, right? Mm-hmm. If you've been managing your streams, you go to that and then you click manage your stream, and then you can set up your stream and it'll post your stream when you're done for whatever time. So like that's like it'll show up in the Discord. That's why it shows up in the Discord for us. Like whenever I post a stream for Tuesday, it'll show up in the Discord like this video, this stream just went up. And then if you click on it, it'll be like this stream starts. Like it'll take you to the stream page and it'll be like this stream starts on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Okay?
Okay.
However, if you have not been managing your streams and you hit go live, it just starts a stream. It immediately creates a stream. Whether you have any feed going to it in any way, shape, or form, what's even worse is, and I have no idea why it does this, it goes back to the last stream that you did that way. So I think like 3 years ago on a Saturday night, I was like, I want to do a stream, and I did an impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream. I actually typed in impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream. And I streamed it. It was a really fun time. However, now, any time I, for whatever reason, am not on the managed stream icon and I hit go live, it immediately posts impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream, which...
Is that why I got a notification the other day?
Yes, like, it's why everyone gets these notifications. Okay. And it will constantly do that. And then what's even worse, here's what's even worse, Neil. Here's what's even worse. Here's the kicker, okay? Because I can't count the number in the last couple of months of impromptu Streets of Rage 4 streams I've had to delete. What's even worse is if I don't catch it, it'll get like 30 views. Even though there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Man.
So...
That's great.
What's even worse, here's the better part, right? Here's the kicker. So I stream through OBS to YouTube, right? OBS, you put in a stream key. Like that's how you stream online. Yeah. If this makes it in, and for anybody who doesn't stream, you put it, you go to your YouTube page or your Twitch page or whatever, they have this like unique number. That's basically like how you call the website. So you would take that number, you copy that number, you put it into your streaming software, and then when you hit streaming, when you hit start stream on your software, it immediately communicates to that website and starts your stream, right? But with YouTube, now usually what has to happen is you can hit this button, but then you have to go to the site itself to actually start the stream. With YouTube, if you hit start streaming by accident, YouTube goes, oh, impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream, and then puts one out immediately. So, like, if I'm just, like, recording footage for a review, for say, or for, you know, one of our shows, and I hit the streaming button instead of the recording button, it immediately creates an impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream on YouTube that then gets posted on my Discord. It is infuriating. If I'm streaming and I click end stream on YouTube and I forget to click the end streaming on my OBS and I don't do that within a minute, it will create an impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream. It is infuriating how easy it is to accidentally post streams. I cannot begin to define how infuriating it is. So basically, I was trying to set up my stream for Tuesday, but for whatever reason, it wasn't on the manage stream section, so it immediately launched an impromptu Streets of Rage 4 stream, so I then had to go into that and stop that, and then delete that forever, and then go to Discord and delete the post so that nobody thinks that there's a random Streets of Rage stream happening. oh, man, it's so infuriating. It's so, so utterly infuriating.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Ryan with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to listen to another Horrible Gaming Podcast. I am not alone. With me is...
Neil, a.k.a. Tiny Wizard.
And we are back live doing your fan traction. We don't have any talking points today. Honestly, it's been kind of a slow news week. I mean, unless we wanted to rehash territory we've already rehashed. So we're going to catch up on fan traction, do some of our news stories, and just call it a day. But yeah, we're back. Eager to see what you guys have commented. Eager to take a look at that. And but before we do that, we got to thank the people who make this possible. Behind our ugly mugs is a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the music here on Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Siders. We thank him for that. We'll be right back with Fan Traction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Traction. Now, as previously mentioned, we have had 2 weeks off. Well, we have 1 week off, but we haven't done Fan Traction in 2 weeks, so we're going to be catching up in 2 weeks' worth of Fan Traction and talking about stuff, all of that fun stuff. So we start...
Fantareezy and the Heezy.
Yeah, Fantareezy and the Heezy. I like that. That's our... Look for our new single to drop, Fantareezy and the Heezy. So we're going all the way back to In the Palm of Your Hand, where we were talking about handhelds, how we think they're going to affect the future of gaming, that kind of podcast. So let's start it right off. William Hoolan, hi! Exclamation point! Congratulations to the man who makes the music, and happy anniversary to Neil and Kayla. I know, it was happiness all around. We had a baby and an anniversary, and just it's wonderful
and
stuff.
And food poisoning!
Well, now I've got to make that a bonus. And food poisoning. Neil did get food poisoning. Right after we played Ordo, too. Wasn't Ordo the last thing we did on Wednesday? Yeah. And then you were like, vomit time!
It was that evening, like, right when we were getting, like, I was getting ready to go to bed. Like, right after that, I was like, man, something's not right here.
You just had too much of my character.
That's what it is. Physical vomit. That is the induction of what that character brings.
TTRPG fans, rejoice. Zach plays a real shithead.
The upcoming.
So to continue, he says, so it is my birthday last week. It was my birthday last weekend, and the whole family got together to give me a PS5. Tried a bunch of stuff. If you have it on Game Pass, you should play What Remains of Edith Finch. He then continued, tried Stellar Blade Demo. This thing is amazing. Got me really hooked. Always loved handhelds. Started playing games on a Game Boy, and I always feel like I'm having the whole world in my hands when I play with handheld games. Thanks for the show. Hashtag day 54 of the strike. Well, you got more entertainment. We did. We at least didn't give you another break in entertainment.
That's fair.
As far as Stellar Blade's just not my type of game. Neither really is Edith Finch. So I can't really say anything on that. And the game that I'm really into right now is Eidolon Chronicle 100 Heroes. That's got my soul. But thank you for the comment, and happy birthday, William. Happy birthday to one of our most
happy birthday
stalwart and long-lasting fans. We appreciate you. Hope you had a good one. Congratulations on the game system. Phil Billy, the Bill Master, then chimed in. Just so you guys know, if you want to play Dragon's Dogma 2 offline, you can, because there are a bunch of Capcom-created pawns in the game. Well, that makes even less sense about the whole needing to have servers open microtransaction argument then. I was not aware of that, and thank you for the heads up, Phil Billy. So those microtransactions did just become a little bit stupider, in my opinion. But that's great that you can play it offline. And again, that kind of stuff, I don't feel like that's the developers. You know, the actual guys making the game, I think that's the company. The company's like just adding stupid shit to the game. I always kind of think that. So then we move to Jason. Nothing to say about handheld. I haven't had one since the Game Boy Advanced. You know, I've never been a really big handheld guy myself. I had a Game Boy, but I had a Game Boy years and years and years and years after it mattered, and I only had it for Pokemon Yellow, which was fun. Not going to say it wasn't. But other than that, handhelds weren't really my thing. I mean, I played some games on the phone, but never anything long enough or with any fervor to get into. I don't know. My gaming for me has always been about, like, being present on a console and devoting time to it. With that said, I do want to say I have enjoyed some time with the Switch. I haven't played the Switch in a long time solo. It's just I haven't. But when I had it and I was sitting with my daughter every night to make sure she goes to bed, you know, because Stella wasn't too bad at bedtime, but you had to sit with her. You just had to sit with her. So it was usually like 30 to 40 minutes you were in there waiting for her to fall asleep. The Switch was great. I would get 30 or 40 minutes on the Switch every night. I could take it in there and just play it in front of me, you know, hooked up my Bluetooth headphones and just... That's how I literally played all of Monster Hunter Stories 2 that way. So there have been some aspects to the Switch that I've enjoyed. But yeah. So I'm not really been a handheld guy either.
Handhelds were always a big thing for me for a multitude of reasons. Two main reasons. One of them, for me, like, handheld games were always seen as, like, if your console gaming is seen as your meals, handheld games were always the snacks. Or the, well, you're going to have something to do in the car, so, you know, bring that along. You know, right. They're just the time killers. But for some reason in my life and growing up, Game Boy and stuff was never seen as a actual game console,
right?
So it was like never regulated when it was like, hey, you need to, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, to stop playing games, do this, whatever,
right?
It was just, you know, free reign.
Yeah,
which is why, like, back when I had my Game Boy Advance SP with that little built-in light on it, that was a whole game changer. Because I didn't have to, you know, cut on the TV in the basement and, you know, boot up a game and you know, run the risk of the sound doing anything. No, I just turn the volume hyper down low in the bedroom and just played until all hours of the night. It was always weird, but I've always been into handheld games.
And that's totally fair. You definitely get either perspective from the both of us. I will say that, like, I probably would have been more into handheld games. I get furious car sickness in the car if I don't look out the windows long enough. The Game Boy was never an option for me because I knew that, like, if I had a Game Boy in the car, I would just immediately get car sickness. So, like, it was always, like, honestly, the thing for, like, long trips for me was a Discman, like a CD player, just a little CD player Discman, and a lot of AAA batteries, and I would just take CDs with me, and that's what I would do where I'd spend all my time daydreaming, because if I did anything other than look outside, I'd get car sick, so it was just music on the car rides. But continuing on, Jason, I didn't know the Prey achievement was an achievement. I just played to play. Oh, nice. And then Jason continued, I loved playing a shark. Maneater is awesome. It is definitely the primary shark simulator, if you want to role play as a shark, from what I understand. Jason then said, astrology and astrophysics are the same thing. I agree to disagree on that. agree to heavily disagree. And then, Jason, old men have memory problems. The podcast, yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, in fairness, we've got a lot of these fucking things. What is this, like 267 or something?
Something like that, which is absolutely insane to think about. It's funny you even bring this up. Because as we were going through here, I was pulled up on Discord and I was just looking around everything. Yeah. We started using Discord in 2020, February 2020, so early 2020.
Yep.
Before then were the days of you having your phone propped up on a stack of books.
I had a phone propped up on a stack of books for a while, but then they made it impossible for a phone to record its own audio, like for security reasons or whatever. So like I couldn't record calls anymore, which killed it. So then we started using Zoom because by then COVID had started and Zoom took away all those restrictions of like call time. Remember? Like, because Zoom, you can only use it for like what? I think it's like...
There was a lockout period. Yeah, it was like 30 minutes or something like that. So you would have to end the call and start back up.
When we first started using Zoom, we didn't have to do that because they, when COVID started, and props to Zoom for this.
The world was nicer.
Yeah, well, but props to Zoom for doing this. They were like, hey, we're doing away with the lockout for now, so just use it. So we switched to Zoom for that, and then Zoom was like, nah, we're going back to it. And I was like, ha ha ha. And then we had to figure out OBS and Discord and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, it's been a long time. We've been doing this for a long time. It was interesting because, and I guess we have time for some digression. I was talking to my wife today because we just launched another episode. Like, we just did another batch of Prelude to Divorces, which I'm extremely proud of because she played Buckshot Roulette, which is so exciting for me. I was talking to her about it. I was like, you realize we're almost at 200 with that? And she's like, oh, okay. And I was like, you say, oh, okay. That officially makes Prelude to Divorce the second longest running show that Old Man Gaming has ever produced. And she looked at me and goes, really? And I was like, yes, it has more episodes than anything other than the godforsaken podcast that we're still putting out.
Yeah.
Somehow. Exciting stuff. So, but yeah, we have memory problems because of that, Jason. It's only going to get worse, too. We were doing this with our 50, which is not even going to be remembering what we were saying 2 seconds ago.
Well, you'll hit that before me.
Not if I kill you.
That's fair. Well, if you kill me, you'll still hit it before me.
You're pushing it now. You're pushing it. Don't get semantical when I'm threatening death upon you.
Yes, and.
Jason then continues, I hate spring. It's when the spiders come out. I love fall. I love fall. It's when the spiders go away. I can't disagree with that. Though, I will say, we get a weird influx of spiders in my house in the early fall because it gets cold. And they all just, like, try and find warmer spots in my walls, which means, like, in my house. But they usually are done by, like, halfway through so fall. And look, there's nobody on this channel recording right now that is not going to agree with you on your hate of spring. All reasons to hate spring, completely okay. Okay.
Late spring isn't, like, we're coming up on now the time that it's like, all right, it's getting to be manageable. The backyard isn't slop constantly.
Yeah. We're still having some shit weather, though. Like, I just want it to get warm already. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Bro, it was 80-something today.
Yeah, it's the first time it's been 80-something.
It's going to be that 80s. Tomorrow, too.
Oh, my God. Thank you for the 280 days. I would have liked more. Thank you very much. And I'll tell you what. I would have taken a lot of 70 days... given up these 80 days to also get rid of the huge amounts of 40s and 50s days with random hail and snowfalls that we've had.
That's fair.
In the last 3 months. Like, I'm not even necessarily talking about it being warm all the time. Just like, let's get that medium average up a little bit.
Medium average. Mediocrity. So, it's what we shoot for.
Yes! What we expect. It's what everybody should shoot for. Oh, you never be upset. Okay, so that's it for gaming in the power of our hands. We have completed the fan traction on that. Thank you to everybody who commented. I am now going to really quickly chew the fat while I find the next podcast that we did, which was 235, Horrible Arena 3, Parabellum.
I loved that, by the way. Thank you.
And there was only one comment on it. So I guess I won. Because the one comment on it was Jason saying, the only game I had any interest in was Mutanimal City. So I guess it's tie 1-0 is what it's gotta be.
that's fair enough.
I do enjoy doing the Horrible Arenas though. From the comments on our Horrible Arenas, I don't feel like our fans enjoy us doing them.
Well, I've always typically, if I don't have it word for word, like a script typed out in front of me, I have issues. So
it's all good.
Anytime I deviate from the system, it just starts falling apart.
It's all good. All right. So that's it for fan traction. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we don't really have a talking point today. So I think what we're going to do...
There's one of them that I think we're going to drill down on.
I am sure there's a few of mine that we'll drill down on. So we're probably just going to get a little bit more loquacious with the news stories. We're just going to have a big news episode. So
if you thought it not possible, be prepared.
So we're going to take a quick break. Be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the news. Skipping the talking point today to do a little bit more on our news stories. I have 5, Neil has 6. We've been collecting them for 2 weeks, so we've got a lot to say about them. We're just going to give ourselves the time to be loquacious about them. So Neil's going to start us off. What do you want to start us off with, sir?
All right, so this one here was the one that I almost wonder if we would have turned into a whole talking point.
Bomb diggity,
one way or another here. But there's an individual who goes by the name of Mike Ybarra. He's a former Blizzard executive.
Yes, I'm very aware of him.
You're aware of him, and are you aware of this?
Not sure. We'll see.
So he kind of caught some of the shit here. This is a little bit of an older thing because of the time with us being off. But he went on Twitter, basically, and said that he wishes that there was a way for us to give publishers even more money after we beat a game.
Oh, I heard about this.
Jar.
I heard about this.
So here's the thing. If there was a way that we could ensure that that money was like going to the actual human beings who were developing the game and not like the executives or anything like that and not the company, like the actual developer, if we could send it directly to them and it would get split up amongst them and, you know, handed off, I could see a viable argument for that. But in no realm in our space right now in the gaming industry would that ever fucking happen. It would go directly to the company. It would be sucked up by executives.
Yeah.
This, that, and the third. You know, these people run themselves into the ground. And, you know, it's one of those things to where you wish you could in some cases. There have been a few games that I've played in the past to where it's like, you know what? I've gotten such value out of this game. Like, if I could tip the developers of Skyrim, like the actual human beings, I've gotten way more mileage than my $60 multiple times out of it, to be absolutely fair. I've played that game to hell and back. If I could go in and say, hey, here's an extra $20.
Yeah.
You guys did great. Sure, they'll get like, you know, like a nickel or a dime a piece, you know, whatever, and it would get spread amongst all of them, you know. cool, but the fact that this is a corporate executive who wants tipping. Yeah. So the higher cost of the game and your microtransactions and your battle passes and this and that and deluxe pre-order editions and this, that, and the third, you're still not getting enough money. So you want to shake the digital tip jar in front of us too. Mm-hmm. Get out of here, dude.
Okay, so fun topic. I'm glad you brought this up because this did come up and I didn't put it on my list, but it did make me think about a lot of things. So this came off really insensitive from Mike Ibarra. And personally, I think it is insensitive from Mike Ibarra. I think it is like it's still a part of this culture from like the big developers who are like, we do so much for you and you don't pay us, which is bullshit. And it's bullshit, and nobody's going to be able to convince me otherwise. It's bullshit. You guys run your fucking companies into the fucking ground and then expect us to bend over backward to pay you guys for relatively shitty, low-quality games. Now, and that's not even from the developers. That's from the corporate guys. And Mike Ibarra is a corporate guy. He's a corporate guy. He is not a developer. That being said, all that to the side, it did get me thinking about some of the stuff in today's market and how we do video games and how we even look at creative projects. You know, you look at Kickstarter and some of these like crowdsourced crowdfunding things. You know, I tell you what, man, if I was a games as service company, right, and I was trying to run a games as service, maybe not a tip jar, but I would say, look, I'm going to give you guys everything for free. You guys get to tip us when you want to tip us. And I think that you could actually make a substantial argument for that. You definitely have, like, and I think no matter what, you're going to have to compensate people for giving you money. You're just going to in some small little way, whether it be like a thank you or something. I mean, even the Kickstarter people, when they put money into a Kickstart, like, there's plenty of like levels that don't give you anything, but a lot of people are putting in to get their name in the game or something over here, you know? But that being said, like, crowdsourcing has been proved to be, in many cases, a successful way to make a game. Not always. It has definitely failed a good portion of the time, but it has also been very successful on a lot of things. I am playing a game right now that was a crowdsourced game. So, like, I feel like there is an argument to be made, especially nowadays when they want to drip feed us content, about something like this. Like, hey, if you're playing it, put money into the pot. And I think that that almost could be like a more ethical way of doing things, especially since you get these people who like try and screw you into a season pass or trick you into a season pass that half the time you're not even going to play all the DLCs for it. You know, I mean, how many times do you buy a season pass and you don't get around to going back to it for the last two iterations or whatever of it. So, like, I think that, like, there is something to be said about that, especially in a world where we don't get to do refunds. That could definitely be, you know, something. And it could definitely help decide whether a game sticks around or not. You could say, like, hey, I'm a games as service. We're going to charge this minimal amount for the base game, like $40, $50. And then from that point on, it's going to be crowdfunded. You guys get to pay money in. But if we don't make a quota every year, we will have to close the game down. You know what I mean? And I would, like, it would really be a measuring stick, especially on these games. Like, hey, this game is popular. It's going to stick around because there's reasons to do it, you know? Like, and sometimes, like, the waters get murky on this stuff, you know? It really does. It's hard for me to say one way or the other, but I do like the idea of paying for the content that you want to hear. You know, it's what Patreon's funded on, Kickstarter's funded on, a lot of other things are funded on that. And there is something to be said about, like, hey, I like this thing. I think it's worth money. I'm going to give them money to do that thing. You know, podcasts already kind of do that. Like, a lot of podcasts are funded straight up from people who can just donate. Like, they have a web page and they're like, this is our podcast web page, here's the place where you could just give us money to keep doing it. And there, I have not done it often, in 42 years of life and a lot of podcasts, I have only chosen to give to one podcast in my life, but I still chose to give to that podcast because I wanted to see more of that podcast. You know, so there's something to be said about that. A tip jar for corporate executives, that's bullshit, you know? But, like, it does raise the conversation of the crowdfunded game, an ongoing crowdfunded game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and to what you were saying there, I can see a realm to where that immediately, like, it starts to turn into, well, it's just a subscription at that point. If people aren't dumping money into it, then the game's not going to continue. Though at the same time, you know, something like that, it's, I think it's more so the fact that a lot of people reacted the way that they did to this is the current state of how just things are in gaming overall. Everything's being scraped off and monetized and this, that, and the third. And it's almost like, kind of to your point, free to play is kind of work like that to some degree.
Yeah, right. You're 100%
so
right.
You're, you know, you have a game. Well, we're not charging you anything for the game up front.
But if you want to keep us alive,
if you want to keep us alive, or play a different way or get different skins, you know, this, that, and the third. That's like Fortnite. Fortnite's free to play. Sure, you can go ahead and just have a basic default character, you know, that doesn't do shit other than it just looks, you know, normal, but you know, people pay for the skins, people, you know, put time into it. Now it's turned into like basically a metaverse thing. They're doing concerts and shit in it. You know, there is a world where something like that can be done and done appropriately, but I don't trust a Blizzard executive to be the one to break ground on that project.
Well, and that at the end of the day, that's the problem in gaming. There's no trust. You can't trust anybody. Like, everybody's a lying shyster right now. And that's that, and just more every day, more of that comes out that way. And that's the big problem, is like, all of these ideas are great. It's just, all of them rely on you to have a certain level of trust. Hell, how many times in the last, like, few weeks have I talked about games as service, their core principle has to be trust between the company and the player. It has to be there. And the reason they fail is it's never there. And like, because they don't give them a reason to. So like, now you've got another corporate like, give us a tip. Okay, well, we can't trust you to do that the right way. You know,
can't trust you with the tip money.
Yeah, it's, we can't trust
the tip. It's not the tip itself. It's who is getting the tip or asking for the tip. It's
playing,
just like if you've ever if you've ever worked in food service, like you and I both have. You know, there's the servers. Never trust the bussers. Never trust the bussers because they're the ones who are over there. You're relying on them to be the honest person to grab the tip and say, hey, this was left on the table for you. The servers, if you watch close enough and you know what you're looking for, you will see them go over to that table and take care of it before the busser whose job it is, because they do not trust that busser to handle the tip.
It's 100% right. And to add another layer to that, almost all those tips that you're giving, a lot of those companies have like percentages they take out of the tips now. Or like weird like factors where like the people you're tipping don't even get all the money. I think
tipping out.
I think like tipping out, exactly. I think Starbucks, like all the tips go into like a central like fund, and then everybody who is working on the shift gets a cut of it. You're not tipping the person that made your drink. You're tipping everybody who's ever been there. At that point, you know, what are we doing? Just charge an extra 25 cents for the coffee. Like, I think that, like, there is a lack of trust on all of these things, and it's one of the things that leads to these problems that we keep having in the business. But I get to move on to my next one. And I'm going to start with a big, good one that straight up got that tightened my pants all the way when I read it. I got inappropriate with this news. And that is,
it's getting a little weird.
The casting for Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Oh shit. Yeah.
The casting for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Shadow the Hedgehog. The bad hedgehog. And if you're not a Sonic fan, fuck off. This isn't for you. But if you're a Sonic fan, if you're a Sonic fan, Shadow the Hedgehog is going to be voiced by the immortal Keanu Reeves. And I, like, John Wick is Shadow the Hedgehog. I straight up, I was erect. I was fully standing at attention for this, and I don't even care. I'm not even ashamed to say it. I'm super excited about this. This is the best news. I was trying to figure out who could play Shadow, and I was like, who could even master that voice? And then I was like, they're just going to do Keanu, because he doesn't need to master the voice. He's going to capture the character within his voice. I'm so excited for this.
I think... In a newsy bit a couple months ago, we talked about there was a rumor that Hayden Christensen might be the one to do it, which would have been interesting enough. When I heard the rumor at first, it was like Hayden Christensen. I believe I remember saying it. I thought that was pretty good, but
I was okay with it.
Upon the announcement,
this is better.
This is much better. This is much better.
Considering in the pantheon of Hedgehog, of Sonic the Hedgehog, and the universe of Sonic the Hedgehog, and all the Sonic the Hedgehog games, the only character to have a game that revolved around, for almost no reason, him shooting people with guns is going to be played by John Wick, makes me so excited. I can't begin to define how happy I am about this news. It is going to be awesome. I couldn't be more excited for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. And have you watched Knuckles at all? Not to be on a side tangent.
I was going to ask you, actually, before we moved on to the next thing. No, that's going to be Tuesday. I'm hoping I'm at least going to be able to see some of it.
Watch four episodes of it. Four out of the six. They're all pretty bite-sized. They're all like under a half an hour episodes, so they're nice little chunks. It's really a movie they cut into six parts for no reason. I don't know why they did it, because it's streaming anyway, and they launched them all on the same day. So I'm like, why are there six parts to this? Just making a movie. But it is. I'm four out of six in. It is lunacy in show form. Like, whatever you're expecting, ramp the silliness up by 10, and then just like blow the fucking walls off that thing, because there is some shit that happens in there that I'm like, who greenlit this? And I want to shake their hands, because this is amazing. This is amazing. So yeah, okay. Well, we'll have to come back to that once you've watched.
Yeah. Speaking of just because we're kind of talking about it anyways. Game related shows. We did finish Fallout.
I'm only on episode 4.
Okay.
So the way it works. I, as a person, only watch wrestling. Like, I have to keep up with wrestling because it's time sensitive. And I watch so much of wrestling that almost all of the time, free time that I have for watching TV is used with wrestling. So I only ever have time to watch one, maybe one show that's not wrestling related when my wife doesn't like it. We tried the first couple episodes. She did not like it. So I am now watching it on my own, which means I must go through it at a snail's pace. So I am only four episodes. I'm four out of the eight episodes in. I am enjoying it thoroughly, but I have not finished it. Do you like the ending without spoiling anything?
Yes. The last episode, I can't say anything about it without it alluding to things, right. But... it puts the show in a bit of a context, I guess, is the broadest stroke that I can make on that.
Okay.
It's definitely, and it ramps up at the next to last episode. Like, they end the next to last episode on like a tidbit of information, and you're like, what the fuck? And then you just like, you need to watch the next to last episode and the last episode, if humanly possible.
Okay. All right. I will try. I will do my best. It is hard. There's a lot of wrestling to consume in the average week. Just for everybody to know out there. Just for everybody to know, if you're just a WWE fan, like just straight WWE, not even watching the other stuff, Raw is 3 hours. SmackDown is 2 hours. Those are weekly shows. NXT is 2 hours. That's a weekly show. There is the 3-minute speed every Wednesday, and then once a month you have a 4 to 5 hour pay-per-view that you have to consume. So That's a lot of that's just WWE. I also keep up on AEW and TNA. So, wrestling eats me a little bit.
Jeez.
I love wrestling, though. Yeah, I just can't quit. I can't quit you, wrestling. I've tried so hard, so many times, but I can't quit you.
Just because we evoked Fallout.
Okay.
The Fallout 4 next gen patch has.
Oh, you're released. Gonna steal some of mine. Here's the overlap.
It's not working out too well.
It is the biggest fucking fuck up that Bethesda has made in the last 10 years, in my opinion. I think it's bigger than Starfield. As far as, like, PR and how they did this, it is a fucking clusterfuck. It's like a Titanic hitting the fucking iceberg, in my opinion.
So, the part that... It's not the extra content that they've added that really kind of throws me. Because you expect some Bethesda jank. At this point, it's Bethesda. They basically have made jokes about the fact that they have that level of jankiness to their games. But the fact that this is a next-gen patch that does, aside from the extra content, nothing really other than update textures and have you run in 60 frames. I did actually, because I upgraded my internet, try streaming Fallout 4 the other day, and I was having issues with lighting in it. Textures aren't loading right. Weapons aren't loading right. Enemies and models are just like kind of falling through existence. You're not reinventing the wheel. It's not a remake. It's not a port. It is the same exact game that you had before with a fresh coat of paint.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just burn, because you've already burned one of them, but I'm just going to burn my other one and just lump it all into Fallout Next Gen conversation news bit right here. Because in my opinion, like I said at the top, this is the biggest misstep Bethesda has made since Fallout 76, in my opinion. I think this is bigger than Starfield, because Starfield actually sold some copies, and while it was a lukewarm game overall, they have considered it a success. With this fucking pile of shit, not only... So first, right off the bat, just so that I'm going to give you the timeline of everything. First of all, Fallout, the series, comes out, okay? Nobody has heard anything. There's been no official Bethesda updates to Fallout 4 in, like, what, like 10 years? Like 10 years at this point? Like, a crazy amount of time. It's less than that, because Fallout 4 came out since we've been doing this podcast. But a lot amount of years, right? No official updates whatsoever. They drop an update, a surprise update. Now, I want to point out, too, Fallout 4 and Bethesda, if you've never played a Bethesda game, it survives for well past its years because of its mod support. Its mod support is amazing. They have an amazing community there. The games themselves are great to mod, and you can just add all sorts of crazy shit into the game. There are mods for Fallout 4 that do better on the internet, like for hype-wise, than official mainline entries. Case in point, Fallout London was a Fallout 4 mod that was being created independently, which was a completely new area in London. Like, they did Fallout, but in London, with storyline, side quests, everything. This thing has been blowing up the internet for years. It was planned release on April 23rd and has been planned release for many months. They drop this next level patch without telling anybody anything about it, and this next level patch destroys Fallout London. They have to cancel a week before they're going to release, and they have no idea when they're going to be able to release it. On top of that, it makes a number of mods, a number of huge good mods. I believe somebody actually made New Vegas in Fallout 4 too. That one's broken. There are tons of mods that were already there that have just been broken because Bethesda could not be bothered to not just not pick up a phone and tell them about it, but not say, hey, we're going to be doing this ahead of time. They wanted this surprise release so bad that they didn't let anybody know. normally, I'm all for surprise releases, but in this case, this isn't a game that's been dormant, right? It's not like you decided to do a random update for Left 4 Dead. This is a game that is constantly being modded that you decided to basically put a supercharger on its graphics. So everybody who's been working in that game just got blown out of the fucking water. So at that point, I'm thinking to myself, well, this update better be good. Because at the very least, they need to be able to say the update's good, and this update's janky as hell, from what I understand. It does add a few side quests to the main game, but for overall, just like you said, it's mostly just texturing, 60 frames per second. It just breaks the game. There are all sorts of new bugs that weren't in it before that are in it now. This is a train wreck. This is a train wreck because you have half the internet is mad at them for breaking and taking away Fallout London, basically. Half the internet is mad at them for all the other mods they broke. You've got the other half of the internet, and I know this is too many halves, but just bear with me. You got the other half of the internet mad at them for the fact that it doesn't even work. And what's even worse is this isn't a new version of the game. It's not like an updated anniversary collection. This is the game. If I go on Steam right now and I buy Fallout 4, this is the game I'm getting. So we've got a five-year-old game that now doesn't work again. And all of the mods that made it so amazing in the first place don't work anymore. And it has made it impossible to get the cool mods that were coming out. Like, this is a train wreck.
Yeah, it's definitely unfortunate. I mean, I will say I am going to play devil's advocate just the tiniest bit here.
Okay.
And in the nature of mods, you know, you don't control anything with it. So, I mean, it's a risk you kind of run. But at the same time, I think it's kind of anticipated, you know, that they should have said something.
Yeah,
maybe about to the mod community. Not even like anything official, man. You don't have to say, hey, just so you know, there's mods. There's an update coming out that's going to do X, Y, and Z. Like, even if, because you have to have some sort of central hub. I mean, obviously you go in there to download the mods anyways. I'm not sure how the uploading of mods works.
Right.
So like, maybe if they put like a little splash screen on there, mm-hmm. Hey, there's an upcoming update. This may break mods. Check your shit, you know, X, Y, and Z. Especially when it's something that's like larger like that. Mm-hmm. Like if it's another Bethesda thing, crazy enough, like Skyblivion.
Yeah.
That's been for years now that's been in the works. If they go to launch and then Skyrim's getting a super secret 8K 120 frame whatever patch whenever that shit finally comes out and it breaks it, I think that would still be kind of along the same dick lines.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, like, and I understand your devil's advocate, I don't argue with it. Most of the time I'd be like, well, you're a modder, you're not officially with the company, so you know, you're fucked. It's just the nature of the beast, right? Yeah. It's only in this case. And it's in this case because Bethesda's bread and butter is on the modding community. Their games are as popular as they are because of that modding community in a lot of ways. Skyrim's anniversary collection is literally all about modders, like them making popular mods official. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how close of a relationship Bethesda has to their modders and how much the modders do for Bethesda. We're not talking about your average run-of-the-mill game here. We're talking about a game that has, I would say, in a lot of ways, propped themselves up on their modding community for a good portion of their success. I mean, obviously not all of their success, but hell, it's one of the only games where you have mod support on a console. How many games do you have mod support on a console? You can boot up Fallout 4 on your Xbox, whatever, and you have mod support. That is very rare. That is almost unheard of. When you're that close to that community, to fuck them over like that is pretty astronomical boat hitting the fucking shore sort of shit, but to do it for a broken ass fucking upgrade is even worse. You know what I mean? It's even worse. So, I don't know. It's a train wreck for me. I'm down to just two now, though, just so you know.
Okay, yeah, I've still got a few. So, I'm just going to toss out one
real quick here.
This one's more so for me, because I guess I'm just a sucker for punishment. Disney is apparently reportedly doing a Kingdom Hearts series again. We've talked about this a couple times over the years. Can't believe I'm saying it years, but the most recent development in this is there was information a little while ago that was leaked about like storyboarding that was done and a little bit of preliminary information about a series that Disney was developing for Kingdom Hearts. It was going to be an animated series, I believe they had originally said, but they eventually canned the whole project and called it a day. And apparently, I guess they have changed their minds. There's no real information and, of course, no official confirmation, so who knows? I believe it was an IGN article that I saw or something like that. So, I mean, if they're talking about it, it's got to at least be real. But, it's one of those things where it's just going to be a confusing mess that they're going to slap on Disney Plus, and I'm going to soak up every minute of it, and I'm going to get on here and tell everybody why it's actually good. So just be prepared for that in the future.
Prepared to be the guy who goes, Neil, what are you doing? I will say this. The reason that thing is back is content now. Like, it's funny because, you know, we've turned everything around to the point where it's just we've splintered all the streaming off into, like, 13 different streaming services, probably more than that. And, like, and they're all just, like, starved for content because there's just no way to feed the beast, you know, to the point where they're just constantly putting out single seasons of things, canceling them. And what bothers me so much about it is you get things like Willow. I loved the Willow movie and I loved the series they made, and they just canceled the shit out of it. Like, it was one season and then it was out of there, and I was like, what are we even doing here? To the point where, like, a lot of times now, unless it's something that I absolutely have to watch, I don't watch anything on streaming until I find out it's getting a second season, because I don't even want to get excited. Don't even want to bother. You know what I mean? Like, there's a series just recently, because I'm a huge Guy Ritchie fan. He's a director. I've watched almost all of his movies and stuff. He actually did a series for the first time. It's called The Gentlemen. It's on Netflix. I absolutely loved it. I don't think it's getting a second season, and it's super depressing. There's just constantly like, here's a show. Do you like that? No. Here's a show. It is literally the, like meta. Well, it's just them throwing shit at walls, just constantly seeing what sticks. And, it is just leading to a lot of garbage programming to sift through on a daily basis. Plus, it's leading to a lot of stuff that gets lost in the shit throwing, you know, at the wall, to where this show was good, but it came out with like 30 other big things, and so they canceled it because it didn't get enough views, you know?
Yeah, I think the cardinal sin for me is in a first season ending on a cliffhanger or ending with some sort of teaser for a second season when it's not been confirmed or anything like that. I feel like it's a lot easier to just in post slap a post credit scene together that you can tack on after the fact.
The Brothers Soon was like that. And it was a bummer to watch.
Yeah, it's like I'm very glad now, at least whenever you finish a series or something like that or a season of something, you'll get a little thing at the end that usually says, like, blah, 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 coming back for season whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
Or like those ones that'll be like, it's already been renewed. And then I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'll check it out, you know? It's infuriating nowadays because there's just so many things. That it's like, yeah, that was awesome. I can't wait for more. Oh, it's canceled. Oh, okay. What are we doing here? What are we even doing here? All right, so I got two. What do you got left?
Three.
Okay. Well, I guess you should go with one more then.
All right. So this one here, a bit of a sad one for yourself. There is a reliable Ubisoft leaker that has apparently said that Watch Dogs is, I guess, dead and buried over at Ubisoft. The IP has been seemingly shelved. Comes after a rumor of a canceled battle royale and the failure of Watch Dogs Legion.
Which is sad because Watch Dogs Legion was awesome. It was one of my favorite games of that year when it came out. I think it was on my... It got nominated for a couple of things on the Horrible Game Awards, if I recall correctly.
I believe it did.
Watch Dogs Legion is a terribly underrated game, in my opinion. I loved playing that game. I was really sad that it didn't do as good as it did. It did get some DLC. I will say this. I don't really care about the IP. The reason, like, I didn't play 1 or 2 and didn't care about them. The thing about Watch Dogs Legion that got me going is what we all know gets me going, which is procedural generation and the idea that, like, oh, you don't have a main character. You just... all the characters in London, you can recruit them onto your team and play them. Like, you know what I mean? It was, and that really was, in a lot of ways, everything it shook down to be. Like, I loved it. I loved finding new characters. I loved getting them to join my team. I loved, like, playing with their different abilities. I didn't love that, like, some of them had guns and some of them didn't, and you couldn't just give one a gun. That was a little annoying. But, like, overall, like, that was so much fun to, like, have a character, especially when you put on the permadeath, and it's like, oh, no, you know, Maggie is dead. I loved Maggie. She is dead, you know? I love that part of it. The only thing that I'll say about it is while the storyline was entertaining, I enjoyed it, they didn't do enough with the end game. Like, once the game was done, there was just nothing to do at all with any of it. And I'm like, you've got all this great procedural generation on the top-heavy part. Why would you attach it to such a rigid narrative? You know what I mean? To where I can't do anything with it once I'm done, you know? But I did like the game, but Watch Dogs doesn't really do anything for me. The only reason I liked Watch Dogs Legion was, A, it was in Britain, which I love the British accent, I love British stuff, and B, it was procedurally generated characters that you could recruit randomly throughout London, you know? But, yeah, I mean, what's even funnier to me is that announcement that they shelved a battle royale for it. What would you do with a battle royale in Watch Dogs? Like, why are you trying to make another battle royale? Like,
just a bunch of nerds running around with smartphones pointing them at each other.
Right. It's more of this, like, corporate insensitivity and stuff being out of sight. Like, that should be, like, the name of the fucking everything we're talking about. Corporate insensitivity. You know, the tip jar, Bethesda, Ubisoft trying to make another battle royale and being like, nah, we can't do that. Like, it's just complete and total detachment from what the consumer wants or thinks of them. You know what I mean? Like, there's just draw a line through it because they don't know what we want in any way, shape, or form. And when they hit something big, it's fucking random chance, man.
If I may, I'm actually going to just segue into one of my other ones just because we're talking about
it anyways. Yeah, sure.
Talking about corporate insensitivity, you know, the game that gave I literally just spaced on his name. Wow, that just derailed the whole train. The Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. Anyways, the game that gave the shark guy the gun.
King Shark.
King Shark. Yes. I kept wanting to say Maneater because we were talking about it earlier.
I love that his name is just Shark with King in front of it. And you were like, nope, I can't. Brain's not doing it.
I can't. Brain no do. So Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is effectively dead already.
Yeah.
The concurrent player base has steadily been dropping. The Joker update has done absolutely nothing. And as it stands right now, their new low is 204 concurrent players.
That actually surprises me that it's got that many.
Yes, it's on its way out. The fact that this game has not been just completely slashed down to 20, 30 bucks on the regular is insane to me. I don't know. It's just a matter of time.
Suicide Squad should be a mascot for the arrogance of, you know, corporate gaming. Like the idea of taking a beloved franchise with beloved characters and turning it into Destiny with guns and butchering it in the storyline capacity. Like that should be like a how to get your game canceled as fast as humanly possible. Like, really, like, the fact that it's not dead yet almost bothers me. And it sucks because I know there's developers that worked on it and probably a couple script writers and some actors that really put their heart and soul into it. But the fact that somebody took the Arkham games and were like, let's continue that by A, having the Batman get murdered by Harley Quinn, spoiler alert, and B, destroy the source material with that story and the other stories, then C, not give them superpowers, but instead just arm them with random bazookas and shit, is just the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
But how else are they gonna color code the loot?
But that's the thing. Like, there's so many ways to color code loot or give, like, you know what I mean? Like, microtransactions and stuff without adding guns to it. Like, I can think of three off the top of my head that have nothing to do with firearms. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so fucking stupid. All right, well, I'm going to switch gears, go to one of mine then, which this is my funny one. And then I'm going to end on a really happy one just for me because I don't think anybody else is going to care. But Hasbro is now aggressively looking for a new Baldur's Gate partner to make Baldur's Gate 4. Good luck, motherfuckers, because what I find funny, too, is they really flipped the script on Hasbro. They had to grovel to Hasbro. They had to pay them tons of money to be allowed to make Baldur's Gate 3. And now... Now Hasbro's like, oh great, you're gonna make a 4-1. Nope, fuck off, bros. They walked, and Hasbro's like, will anyone make Baldur's Gate 4? And I feel extremely sorry for the company that has to make the fourth Baldur's Gate.
Hilarious. You're fucked.
What's sad is, you know, it's gonna be like a double A company that's up and coming, trying to make a name for it, and it's gonna be like, we have to try. It's too big an opportunity to not try, but there's no way they're going to pull it off. What an interesting fucking turn of events and story this has been, where one of the greatest games ever made has turned into like a giant middle finger to the entire industry, for starters, and then a giant middle finger to the entire TTRPG industry as well. It is awesome to me, but yeah, I can't wait. I will not be first in line for Baldur's Gate 4. That is for certain. Whatever, whoever they get to make it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I can't think of a single one, triple or double, outside of what Larian has proved that they can do with it.
Yeah.
That would even hold a candle, like.
That's the thing. There's some CRPG companies that I think are good. Like In Exile, I think could take a good shot at it. They made Wasteland 3. They're a very good company. Do I think they could pull it off? Well, that's the question, too. You know, like, if they don't pull it off, it's the worst mistake you've ever made. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's tough. Who wants to step in those boots at that point? Wasteland 3 is a good game, a proper banger, 9 or 10 out of 10. It's not Baldur's Gate 3. Very few things on this planet are. So it's hard to like pick a company. Like, there are plenty of CRPG companies out there that are good. The company that just made Rogue Trader, very positive things about Rogue Trader. Could they make that, though? I don't know, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be some serious shoes to fill.
Serious shoes to fill.
I only have one left. Same now, here. Actually, same so. Here. I'm going to go ahead and just get mine out there.
Mine's super happy for me, so.
Okay. So there's a developer named Hooded Horse. And they are the developer of a game coming out called Manor Lords.
It's out.
There's okay. So it's then it game is pass. Out already.
It's out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's already out.
So I guess I can talk about it in past tense.
Yeah, it's they 4X. I'm thinking about playing it. I'm not sure.
They're doing something very strange in regards to their pricing. Okay. That's it. They weren't telling anybody how much the game fucking cost whenever it was getting ready for launch. So their reasoning for that was they did not want the cost of the game to be correlated with the quality of the game. And they also said that they were not doing pre-orders.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah,
that they were not doing pre-orders, not for the reason that you may think. Oh. Not for good reasons. more so for dumb reasons.
Okay.
Their response was scammers.
Scammers?
Scammers, yeah.
Explain? The logic was there show the work on that? Just scams? Yeah,
that's the thing. They wanted that. There's no work to show. They said they wanted to combat scammers. They said they don't want people selling product keys. So, what, you think somebody's going to pre-order a game that they don't know how much it costs?
I don't understand the scammer thing. I'm going to say that right now. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I will say I'm all for companies not doing pre-orders. And if that includes not showing your price until the day of, I'm fine. I'm totally okay with that. If I don't have to pay you until it comes out and then I can hear what the reviews have to say about it, cool. Great. You keep it under your shirt then. I'm okay. If that's the trade-off, I'm in. I'm totally in. Because that will alleviate so much bullshit in the gaming community. That being said, this is weird. The reasonings for that is weird. Like, if they had come out and been like, hey, we don't want to do pre-orders because we don't want you to be attached to it, you know what I mean, until it's out there in the world, and we're not giving you a price, so we're not doing pre-orders, I'd have been like, hey, you know what? That's different. It's weird, but fine. The way they presented it is very strange. Yes. Especially since it's a Game Pass game. You can play it on Game Pass.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was on Game Pass. Yeah. So that makes it even extra more weirder.
Yeah, it popped up in Game Pass day one. It's a day one Game Pass release, which is why I keep thinking about playing it. How much did it end up releasing for?
I don't know because
it only came up out a couple of days ago. You're not that late on it.
I'm gonna look at that real quick.
That's interesting. All right. Well, while you look at that, I'm gonna give my final one. And this is super exciting for me. River City Girls 2, my greatest brawler of all time, my number one brawler of all time for the time being, until something usurps it, is getting an update. A few years into its creation. This update, I'm super excited for. You will finally get to play. Double Dragons, Billy and Jimmy are going to be added to River City Girls 2. But what's even better about this is, and this is what I wanted to look up because I wasn't sure when I heard about the thing. Billy and Jimmy are actually already in River City Girls 2. They run the technique stores that you go to like learn your techniques for your characters. So they're already in there, like, because the company that, like, the company actually, like, that owns all those games, I think it's Koei, like, they're all together. It's a shared universe, right?
Okay.
But the American version of it, the Game Grumps voice them. Aaron voices Billy and Dan voices Jimmy. They are voicing the characters.
Oh my.
In the actual game. I could not be more excited about this. I don't know how much I've talked about Game Grumps before here, but it's my favorite internet show. I am a huge fan of the Game Grumps. I love Ninja Sex Party, which is Dan's band. I love Starbomb, which is both of their bands. I listen to all their music on a regular basis. And this is my, like, favorite brawler game. So, like, it's like I saw this and I was like, I don't think I could be happier with this announcement. Like, it was like, what does Zach want? Here you go, Zach. Like, it almost like was like speaking to me. I'm so excited for this. It's a reason to go back to River City Girls 2, which is always good. And to have Aaron and Dan also be characters now in the game as the OG Double Dragons. Awesome. Super excited.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It sounds
that
so much fun.
Sounds fun.
Sounds so much fun.
Just to answer the question, it was a $40 game.
Oh, that's exciting. That's a discount price too, which is weird. So maybe they didn't want to release it because they wanted people to think it's better than it. That's so weird. The reasoning behind everything is confusing to me, I think.
Yeah.
That's it for the news, though, right? We're all done?
That is it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a second, and we're going to come back with plugs, and we'll wrap this thing up.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything?
It does seem like we are about to record that very last episode of this part of the Ordo, where we've done the things and the stuff. Honestly, I was going to start talking about stuff, but it's pointless because nobody's heard any of it yet.
I know.
So, we're approaching the final confrontation, and if you happen to listen to this in a couple months, you'll know where we're at.
Yeah, you do. It sucks that you have to keep promoting something that we haven't actually even gotten released yet, because we want to release it to coincide with the release of the actual game, and I don't know how close Wiz is. He's doing all the editing and stuff, so... keep a lookout for that. It is coming, and it's going to be exciting. But that does mean that very soon we will be able to get the Lasso 3 stream going again, I think.
Yes, and I feel like that's going to work out pretty well here, too, because we're basically at the end of April. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be done with school here, so I will be much freer.
Yeah, I love playing with you guys. I'm very excited too. There's a bunch of games out now that we can play. It'll be fun. As far as me, I am going to plug Eudon Chronicle 100 Heroes. I have done a review for, a very, very heavy review for. That will be coming out. That will have come out already on Monday. So please check that out. My Stamped Out Judgment review of that. I was definitely a little bit more favorable than the other places were to it, I think. Though generally everybody likes it. It's the spiritual successor to Keaton, which is, we've talked about on the show, the only JRPG that I've ever loved. And this doesn't disappoint. I do love it. Although it does some stuff in it that just drives me fucking nuts. Like some quality of life things they did that were great. And then there's other ones that you're like, why? Why didn't you do this? Check that out. Also check out, I got my wife to play Buckshot Roulette, if you guys could believe it, the gaming trend, and she actually liked it way more than she thought she was going to. The first episode is already out, came out on Sunday, and we got two more of that before we do something else, whatever that is. So Prelude's back. We took kind of a long hiatus there just because of family stuff and timing. Other than that, we got a lot of stuff coming to the channel on both the TTRPG and video game front. Please check all of it out that we have to offer. And you can also contact us on Facebook at OmanGamingDH, on Twitter at OmanGaming9. You can join our Discord, links in the description below, influence us in all of our shows from there. As long as you guys keep watching, you keep listening, I will keep making them, we will all keep making them, and we will see you guys next time. Okay. Okay, all right, that out of the way. Yeah, so you're good with just doing news and fan interaction today?
Yeah, I definitely am okay with that. Like I said, I'm still, I don't know what the hell. We've basically, after a couple days, narrowed it down to bad potato salad.
That happens. That can happen.
You can't see it on the camera, I don't think. No, not so much anymore, at least not on camera, but my eyes were all bloodshot from... Oh, there you see a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, I can see it.
From just endless retching. It was so, so bad.
Food poisoning doesn't fuck around.
No, and I'm still, like, it's terrible because I had made a ton of food, like, a couple days before. And I was like, I'll have leftovers for a couple days. Fucking nope. I threw out, I didn't throw it out. I haven't thrown much out yet. Just because I'm hoping that I'll be better enough to eat the stuff, but I'm like barely eating anything. I've had like just toast the past few days, and I graduated to a like plain chicken with plain white rice today. It's not.
So it doesn't feel like sickness. It feels like puking. Because I've had puke sickness.
Yeah. So I mean, it was Wednesday night. I had to go back to work the next day because we were off for our anniversary and everything.
Right.
And it was, thank you. That's how I ended it. Wednesday evening, I went to bed and I'm like, there is something that does not feel correct here. But I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I did something, ate something, you know, whatever. Turns out it did. It is what happened. I ate something. I got up the next day and I was set to close. So normally what I'll do is I will wake up basically when Kayla leaves for work. I'll go make my coffee, putz around for about 10 minutes and do any sort of cleaning / homework that I may need to do for school. Didn't make coffee, didn't anything. I'm like, I just had water and I sat down to do homework and I'm in the process of typing out something for school and I get like 3 lines in. I'm like, do I have to throw up? And the second the thought came into my mind, it's like, you should probably make your way over there. Nothing aggressive. I was like, yeah, probably. Let's just see what happens. And the second the bathroom door opened, my body was like, you have 2 seconds. So, and that was me up until I had to go to work. And I was like, at first I was like, I'm okay. I did what I had to do. I felt good in the moment. And then I got in the car and started driving, which amplified everything. Mm. And we even had, it's funny because we had like higher up managers there.
Oh no.
And I just came back and the one manager was like, hey, how was your anniversary? It was great. Yeah, 1 second. And I just like took off and the managers were in the back having a conversation about something. And me just guttural growls like I'm summoning a demon or something in there.
You gotta just like, yeah, so the quarter four projections are
what was happening.
Vacation's been good, people have been good, our numbers have been
so it gets worse from there because after that I'm like, this has to be the end of it. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm good. I was just off for a couple days. I'm not trying to be that guy who's like my first day back. Oh, I'm sick. I got to go home. You know, whatever. I was like, I'll make it work. And I was there for about 10 minutes before I then had to run off again. And then my main manager was just like kind of waiting. And I opened up the door and he was like, hey. I'm like, hey. He's like, it's pretty apparent you're not going to be able to do anything today, so you just want to take the L and go home. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. He's like, yeah, pick up some Gatorade, make sure you're hydrated, rest up. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
That's funny. That's funny.
But now it's been crazy because like I've had to, because I haven't been eating food, I've had to adjust my belt like crazy, like almost every single day. So, I mean, good, I guess.